There is magic happening right now because you've landed on the Softpreneur podcast with Alisa Joachim and Dawn Petrin. We help the wellness industry's most disruptive thought leaders express their essence louder and prouder to create more profitability and possibility. And now it's your turn.
Yay! Today we got to interview one of our very best friends and the gal who really taught us so much of what we know and how we approach marketing today, Shanti Zack. Shanti is literally like one of the very most brilliant marketers we've ever met. And on top of that, she cares more about like regenerative living and taking care of the soil than she even does about quizzes. And she's been the quiz queen, creating quizzes for people like Jenna Kutcher and Amy Porterfield. I mean, the list goes on for years now. And in today's chat, we got to get into more than just quizzes. We spoke to Shanti about her deeply embodied spiritual and creative practice that I have been witness to over and over again because I used to live in a bus on her land. We spoke of her journey from food blogger to conversion copywriter back to maybe food blogger and or how she's writing a recipe book for sourdough discards. And in that, we spoke about the writer's path and making a living as a writer, how to find clients, the magnetic way. We also spoke about, as Alisa alluded to, the fact that a lot of us were duped into thinking that finding success and crushing in the online business world will mean that eventually it's all passive and you hardly have to do anything and money just like flows to you in Stripe notifications making little ding sounds, when actually Shanti gives us a whole different way of looking at it. And we also got to talk about, you know, how Shanti is moving ever more into that softpreneur life while continuing to play in her business. So can't wait to dig in. Let's go. Yay. Shanti Zack is in the house. Welcome, Shanti, to the Softpreneur podcast. For those of you who've known us for a while, you probably knew Shanti first, and it is such an honor to have her in this space where we get to, just bask in the glory of the wisdom that flows freely through Shanti's mouth every time she speaks. Shanti's also Chantel and is, pretty much my very best friend in the world. We met in 2018 now, and our background is like strangely similar down to like working at the same steakhouse 8 years apart. And just so grateful to have you here. Even Alisa is in my life because she was fangirling Shanti and I was working with Shanti at the time. So yeah, thank you for being here, Chantel.
Aw, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, yay. I think like I'm one of two people, the other being Shanti's mom who calls her Chantel. So Shanti, we always start with this one question, and it is, do you have a spiritual practice, and is there anything you want to share with us and our listeners about it?
Oh my gosh, just one.
No, one question. You can have as many spiritual practices you want to share about. We ain't slowing you down.
Oh, I love this question. My spiritual practice lately is dancing on my deck every single morning. And it's starting to become fall. It's getting a little bit cool. The nature's not so easy to step out into in the morning. And that's part of the practice too. So I'm going to see how long I can go dancing outside on my deck every day. And it really is the thing that gives me the most clarity into like, how am I showing up? And I do it whether I feel like doing it or not. And often I don't, but I never regret it. And that's probably most spiritual practices for you.
I have a question. Is there like a certain set container for this dance practice? What is its like arc flow? Does it have any rules? What is the process?
Yes. Okay. So what I will often start with is some guided instruction class, whether it's the class, which I love and I'm obsessed with, or I'll do like a strength training workout. And my go-to girl is Carolyn Gervin on YouTube. She is just jacked, and yet she has terrible musical taste. So I mute her and I put my own whatever SoundCloud playlist flavor of the day on, and I just follow along. And then usually that will get me like into an expanded head and heart space. And then after that guided portion, then I just do my own thing, and I just like whatever remains, I slough it off. I shake around. Often my kids will be up on the deck too, and I'll chase them around and do some foam rolling. And like, ideally, it's a 90-minute practice, but some days, like today, it was like half an hour and I really didn't feel like it, but it was so good at the end. And I just sent Dawn actually this new workout class that I'm doing. It's called Naughty Girl, and it's so much fun. I'm loving that too.
So good. I love this, like when we make space for things too, it feels like in the business owner space, the shifts it can create are so massive, because I think a lot of the time we think we can't do our practices or a long workout or have that sort of like those self-care things lead. Have you seen shifts in your business or just your life, like by making that such a priority and a spiritual journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say it's been a few years now of like consistent practice, not necessarily on my deck every day. That's my happy place, but just moving my body before sitting down to my desk. And I read this book. I forget what it's called now. I'll remember it if you want to put it in the show notes later. But it explained the science behind why it's so important. And essentially, it's like cortisol is going to arise in our bodies, right? There's no avoiding it. And cortisol is not the problem. It's not completing the cortisol cycle. It's not having an outlet for it to be processed and let go of, essentially. So the biggest change for me is just having a way to move through that, like, oh, there's cortisol. I have all these thoughts of all these things I need to do. And like, it's the incessant mind chatter that often creates the cortisol response. And movement then processes it, and it all starts up all over again, right? Like it's not like you do it once and you're done. We go back to it the next day because it's out of necessity, right? So yeah, lower stress, having a way to actually manage my incessant mind chatter and anxiety, and then all of that ripples out into my business and life. And this is the Softpreneur Pod, so I'll share this too. Over the summer, my relationship with weed has really been up and down for so much of my life. I'll go for periods without it, and then I'll bring it back in. And over the summer, I was bringing it back in before my movement practice. And my relationship to weed has always been that it gets me like so in my body. Like I don't understand people who smoke a joint and aren't like suddenly like rolling their hips and like in pigeon pose on the floor. It's just immediate body response. So that also has been like an additional layer to it that gets me out of my head. And what started happening is my like now, and I don't know if inebriated is the right word, but like I'm in a different state than I normally am, times two, because movement plus ganja. And suddenly I was getting all of these great ideas for content and emails and social and just things. And I would just stop dancing, send myself a little Slack note with whatever random thing popped up, and then come back to that later and use it in different ways. So that's been really helpful too, because often with content and ideas, we're overthinking so much. It's hard to actually like express from a place of true inspiration. So that's been a game changer.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks for sharing. That's fun. I'm all right with that for sure. It's so interesting. Like you said, I think, what am I trying to say here? I feel like it's depending on our mindset going into like consuming something mind altering, what will come out of it. And it's interesting. I'm like on the other side right now where I like have not been indulging in cannabis very much. And then sometimes after the end of a long day, I'll like be like, okay, yeah, I can. And then I'll like, you know, hit the vape pen or like have a toke. And then all of a sudden, same, I'm like, oh my God, I have all of these ideas. Finally, I know, about stewardship, like that idea of stewardship came to me like on my deck. But at the end of a day, similarly, like, oh no, shit, we need to be stewards of not just of the land, but in our businesses and of each other. So I love that you're sharing that. And I love sometimes Shanti accidentally sends me her Slack notes to herself. And I love that when that happens. So now I know also that you've been maybe imbibing at that time. And I lived in Shanti's backyard literally in a bus last summer. And I was always just like so in awe of her dance practice in the morning. She's like, come. I'm like, I don't know. For some reason, I'm shy about dancing on your deck right now. But yeah, super inspiring. And actually, Shanti, I feel like you've been an inspiration for a long time now for a lot of business owners in a lot of ways, especially, I mean, certainly for copywriters. You did something where you were a chef in a breakfast restaurant and broke into the online business world and made a name for yourself in a really big, you know, micro niche way, but while working with a lot of spiritual entrepreneurs. And I think for a lot of us, we sort of thought like, how do you be a copywriter? Or you can only be a copywriter for, you know, supplement companies or I don't know, people. So in my world before you, it was like Brazilian diet pills. I saw people get rich off of like Facebook ads and Brazilian diet pills. And that was just so not it for me. It was like, of course, I'm not going to do that. And I wonder for anyone who's new to you, if you want to give us, if it's okay with you, I'd love to hear a little short history of getting into online business and how you got to here. Because my hopes and dreams for you are that you come back to the cycle of how you started sometime real soon and start really playing back into that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I started with a food blog and it was my first foray into online business. I, you know, admittedly had no idea what I was doing. I did not make really any money directly from said food blog, but I did learn so much. That was like my kindergarten space where I just got to like play and experiment and explore. And yeah, it was magical in a lot of ways. And I took my passion for food and I got to share it with the world and build this skill set. And yet there was this question mark around like, okay, now how do I actually turn this into viable business? And I can't even remember at this point, like if I was actively looking for writing gigs or if it just sort of found me, but I discovered that, you know, there's other people with food blogs and wellness blogs. This was back when blogs were like the thing, right? That wanted and were hiring people to write their content. And so I started writing content, including sometimes recipe development and photography, like for other bloggers. And I got paid very little for that. But that was my first taste of like, oh, I can make a living writing. This is crazy. And the niche that I was in, because my food blog was focused mostly on paleo, like eating real food, very much on the wellness side of nourishment, I sort of landed in the nourishment space and wrote for chiropractors and foot doctors and other paleo food bloggers and health coaches. And, you know, the Venn diagram of niche overlap is there's very much like a great overlap of wellness and spirituality, right? So there, the natural like shift into writing for more spiritual based businesses, it just sort of happened and made sense for me. And I'm into all that stuff. So it was easy, but yeah, it was quite an interesting transition to go from thinking I was going to build a career as a food blogger to like, okay, suddenly I'm a freelance writer. What does that look like?
Yeah, I feel like you are such an expander for like so many of us. I know for me and Dawn, like I remember watching this. I had just gotten into copywriting through like the grace of Divine Mother. I don't know, like all these kinds of synchronicities and strangenesses. Cause I feel like copywriting is that kind of niche. It's a niche skill in and of itself, that usually people find it in a sort of random way, right? Like, oh, I didn't expect that this would be the thing. And then you also sort of see like, oh, there's a path to be paid very well as a writer or a creative person in the world. And I remember like in my deep diving into that time, it was so liberating because I'd just finished a creative writing degree, and where I was told for years I would probably not make any money from that pursuit. And then like during the pandemic times, like I found copywriting and I kind of felt like it was this badge of honor to be like, oh, this is a viable thing. And it's actually like, you know, the place where people can make serious money in their business, or you can help other businesses make serious cashola. And I remember I was watching this launch that you did in, oh my goodness, must have been the winter of 2020. And it was your Grow with Quizzes launch. And we can chat quizzes too, Shantia's really expanded quiz space and what that's been able to do for so many online entrepreneurs. And I'm trying not to call you the quiz queen, because I know that's a moniker you don't always love.
I take it from other people. I just don't refer to myself.
That's very magnanimous of you.
You may have said it.
Quiz empress. We've graduated from queen to empress. I feel like that's appropriate. And I was watching these emails come into my inbox and like, holy moly, like the way that you and Dawn was, I believe, on that launch as well, like you guys were creating emails and they were landing in my inbox. I was like, what is happening? Like, give me more of this. And it was like the voice, like the fun factor in your voice and the way you approach business and really like creating is so thoroughly innovative. And it kind of goes back to what you were sharing about your spiritual practice. Like, I'm getting creative ideas and I'm getting downloads and I'm allowing that to be part of my life. So I'm kind of thinking like what my question is here, but I just like reflecting on like how you kind of send, I think, with your work, this like frequency out that we don't have to do this in like a boring way or a cookie cutter way. And you're such an innovator. Do you think of yourself as an innovator as you create?
No, not at all. But I love that you think that. And I got my human design full reading, which is 4 hours long, you guys. Holy. And I was digging into it yesterday and she also kept saying like, innovator, innovator. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm here for it. So thank you for seeing that within me. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think with copywriters and with anyone in business, like it sounds cliche, but your vibe attracts your tribe. Your energy and frequency is attracting the client who has a similar energy and frequency. And so if you are really tapped into your own spirituality, you're just going to attract clients who are also tapped into that. And it's effortless, right? So long as you're, you know, authentically communicating it.
You're definitely an innovator. Can you tell us more about your human design? What do I know? All I know is you're a projector. Do you want to tell us anything else about it?
Yeah, I'm blown away by this whole system at this point. I think for many of us, we only scratch the surface of it. I've only scratched the surface of it for many years. And like, if one more bloody person tells me to wait for the invitation, I'm going to like slap a bitch. So, it, you know, but it's so much deeper than that. It's crazy. And I still don't know the language, really. I am just still scratching the surface. But one interesting thing that she shared was my throat is one of my defined centers. And a defined center is an energy center that you have consistent, fixed access to. And within that energy center of the throat, I have like 4 or 5 different gates. And then those gates are representative of different themes and archetypes. And so communication, innovation, individuation, and supporting people on their individual journeys through my own, sharing my own individual journey was a big theme. Whereas like other, and forgive me, I'm totally butchering this for any human design expert listening, but other centers or gates are more like tribal mechanics. So I have a undefined sacral center, and that's very like tribal mechanics focused. It's like what's best for the group, and it's centered around like care and nurturing. But the throat one is very much like, no, like you're here to evolve as a human being, and that catalyzes the collective evolution, but you need to focus on you, right? Like clean your room before you try to change the world. So that was fascinating. And I'm just so excited to go deeper because I'm still like, okay, now what does this look like in daily life and practice?
I feel like this comes back to like quiz queenliness in that, you know, you have written a bazillion quizzes and you have been behind a bazillion other quizzes, and your like quiz style is super innovative. And it's like that knowledge that you gained of yourself from that human design reading. It's like, yeah, then what do you do with it? I think it's similar with quizzes, you know, or any way that we're putting ourselves into like, not into a box, but trying to understand ourselves based on like other frameworks other than, I guess, our own minds or like religion or what have you. I'm not sure about human design. I feel like I'm like yes to it, and I'm also a no to it in some ways. And I feel like I'm similar to that in almost all of the ways that we have to define ourselves outside of ourselves. So like I loved writing quizzes with you, but I also wasn't like I don't know what every Enneagram type is like, you know, and I don't really care what your Enneagram type is, although I might be interested in it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a 5, and then they're not, or what have you, right? But I think, yeah, I think where I'm going with this is these ways that we define ourselves both inside of ourselves and outside of ourselves, how do we use them to then like create the lives that we want for ourselves? Yeah, I don't know if you have anything to say on that as like the person who's been behind all of these different sort of evaluating structures and then funnels that come behind them. But what would you say is like a nice way to use it? Is sure, if human design resonates or something else resonates, like then how do we take that and create with it as opposed to like victim consciousness with it?
Okay, so I think right now why the human design stuff is like so fascinating to me is because I never really understood the complexity of it and how many layers there are within it. before this recent rabbit hole. And that, like, therein lies the challenge with any personality typing system, any assessment or quiz that you take that's informing you or reflecting back to you information about who you are is always going to be incomplete, right? It's just one tiny fraction of who you are. And, you know, I preach into the choir when I talk about like interconnected systems. You don't have one thing over here that's operating in isolation. Everything is affecting everything. So that's the challenge. And that's why I always tell people, like, you're not creating a scientific system here and promising to, like, explain to someone the intricacies of their soul and how they operate, right? Like, it's not that. It's not that. It's, and that's where, like, so many quizzes on the internet is more just, like, for fun and take it with a grain of salt. And we know that the Barnum-Forer effect is real. And if you tell someone something positive about themselves with the premise that that's uniquely true to them, but you're telling the exact same uniquely true to you statement to 1,000 different people, they're all going to agree with it. They're all going to find truth in it. So, like, there's a lot going on there. And yet, when you read the attributes of, say, your Enneagram or your astrology or your DISC profile, whatever system you might be looking at, it's this recognition that it's a felt sense, right? Like, you feel it when something rings true and holds value for you to explore in a deeper capacity. So that's where, like, I'm always telling people, does it feel true to you? If it doesn't, just leave it at the door, right? But if it does feel true to you, then it's, you know, in a sense, it's like being in relationship with someone else who's reflecting to you, like you just did for me, like, oh, you're innovative. And I'm like, I am? Like, okay, I guess I'll look at that, because there's some part of me that's reacting to that statement, whether positively or negatively, right? If there's a charge, there's something there to be explored. And that's what I'm aiming to do with any quiz or assessment, is like, let it serve as an invitation to explore further, and let it serve as a mirror to reflect back to you what might be true that you have yet to see or acknowledge, whilst also knowing that it's inherently incomplete and your whole life is going to be a journey of discovering and learning more about the bits and bobs of yourself. And then you're always changing. So it's like, talk about imperfect science, but it is one tool that we have to explore our inner realms.
I love it. It's like, who are you becoming, right? And the invitation thing is funny, right? Because it's like, if we get reflected these potential qualities or these qualities that we could perhaps be invited to lean into, then we can, whether or not we feel like we're fully embodying that potential, we can lean in and start to own these qualities. I was doing a gentle yoga class recently, and it was with Megan Curry, and she said something like, what do you want to feel? What do you want to feel at the end of this practice? And to think about, like, oh, I can intend who I want to, the qualities that I want to embody. And sometimes getting these things reflected back to us gives us that, like, that sense of choice, right? Which maybe leans into the sovereignty or the personal self-responsibility, where it's like, I get to choose. I get to choose how to take this information, and I can obsess about the little blocks or the shadow qualities. And yes, we do believe in unblocking here. And I can also pull those things toward me more, or give myself permission to lean into being innovative or lean into being an artist or a creator when those, you know, when those things get reflected without making it keep us in a box that's like, well, that's not me, so I'm not going to try that. Or I'm introverted, so I'm not going to try to create content on social media, etc.
Feel like this, who are you becoming? And this making choices and this sovereignty, this is really where I'd love to direct this conversation towards. Because Shanti, you've been in online business for a long time now. Like, what are you, like 9 years or something? Probably 8 or 9 years. And I know you have this like beautiful philosophy of like seasons of life and seasons, you know, of the year and of your business in terms of each year. But also, I don't know, I feel like for so many of us who enter online business, we enter it as a survival mechanism. And a lot of us, because like we just probably aren't going to work for other people very much, right? Or we need the remote thing. We want more of this like on my own time thing. And I feel like, and this is something, we had a call with Chris Orzechowski yesterday, and he was talking about sending emails every day. And he said, when you learn how to do this, you can just start a business in anything. You can just put one business to bed, take your list, and start another business and just go for it. And that really resonated with me because I love the agency. I love marketing. And I'm like, what do I really want to do? And like, how can this work we've been doing, these skills we've been gathering, and these like connections and community we've been creating, how can we use that to bring us closer to who we are, whether it's through an assessment or not, you know, and into what we really want to create in life? And I feel like from my vantage point, you're getting closer and closer, Chantel, to really like leaning into what you want to create in life. And I wonder if you don't mind if you would speak for a little bit about what that feels like to be on the verge of maybe like calling back to the beginning, not beginning, but close to the beginning of this pod where I was like, so tell us about the beginning of your career and then where you're going now. And for like the last 6 months or something, I know like, first of all, Chantel's the best cook ever and she's been baking sourdough bread and she's been talking to me about this like sourdough, what do you call it? Like sourdough discard, like blog or content or like a book, right? Yeah. And I think though, the feeling I have about it is that's just like tip of the iceberg of all of these things that you might create. So if you don't mind me putting you on the spot like this, I'd love to know what it feels like to be on this place where you've established yourself, you know, you can like, you know, pay for your food and your life and your cow and your farm with what you've been doing. But maybe you have an inkling that there's like more or different that you'd like to explore. What does that feel like? And if you don't mind, as the expander innovator you are, can you like tell us maybe some little steps or bigger steps that you're taking to move into whatever it is that you're becoming, whether you know what you're becoming or not?
Yeah, absolutely. This feels similar to how someone might feel if they're like straddling a traditional like 9-to-5 job and building their business on the side. That's probably like the best analogy that I could offer for it because a lot of the challenges are similar. It's a different thing because I know how to build a business online theoretically, whereas someone in that circumstance does not. But essentially, the challenge is time, right? But the impetus is growth and change and like expression and just like doing something different whilst using the skill set that I've built over the last decade to make it successful. So my idea is to write a sourdough discard cookbook, which, you know, I've made a bit of progress on, but to be honest, not as much as I want because I've got this baby business over here. Well, not baby, right? But like, it's my baby and always will be, that if I let it fills all of my allocated work time, right? So my frustration with myself and not having made more progress because of time is really forcing me to look at my relationship to time and what am I doing to fill my time and what do I really want here? What am I working toward? Why am I doing this? Like, you know, I sometimes get stuck in like the existential purpose cycle of like, does it really matter? Is it big enough? And it's such a hamster wheel, right? So I haven't told you girls this yet, but my recent, which feels like actually a really big change and a big deal to me, and I'm only 1 week in, so we'll see how she goes. But I am changing my work schedule to only be at my desk 3 days out of the week. And like, yes, I'm going to have to open my laptop on Monday and Friday too and like do a few little things. But the goal is focused work Tuesday through Thursday, and then to have that 5 days where, yeah, I'm with my kids. And part of that change was also to just spend more time and soak up these like precious years when my little ones are still little, but to also free up time to work on other projects that for now can just be like passion projects. So the sourdough thing, you know, another struggle is wanting to do all the things, right? So like I want to do the sourdough thing and I want to write like smutty short stories and I want to learn how to be a DJ and the list goes on and on, right? But yeah, it's like this question came up for me recently because often I think, well, I don't know if I can replicate success in any other avenue to what I, compared to what I have now. Like, I don't want to just throw away what I've worked so hard to build because I'm bored and want to do something else. And the question that came up for me around that was like, what if you could be successful at anything you pour your energy into? Like, what if it didn't have to be so complicated? And it's just a matter of like where energy and time is directed.
Yay. I'm so glad. This is so good. I definitely think you could be successful at anything and have seen you be successful at multiple things. But I also think you probably know the name for this, but like we will fill up all of the time we allot towards something, right? So by giving yourself, yeah, say it again.
Parkinson's law.
Parkinson's law. Exactly. Right. And then what's the 80-20 thing?
20% of the things you do get you 80% of the result.
Right. And so I feel like this thing, first of all, yes, hurrah, congratulations. And I'm sure everyone listening is like, oh, hell yeah, I want to do that too. And I think you've seen, I've seen you go working like 16-hour days, maybe not quite, but I've seen you working like crazy days. And I've seen you working like softer days, right? And still getting everything done and not having, so for sure you can. And then we've seen you go from like quiz queen to I launch New York Times bestselling books or right? Like I feel like in the realm, what do we call that? Like a horizontal pivot. You've proven to yourself that you could probably horizontally pivot in the marketing, the copywriting realm in any direction. And so you're young. Like, why the heck not try something else and play with it? It's not like your copywriting skills go away. And even if you weren't young, that would be like another reason to hurry the F up and do it, right? And I think this is, again, really inspiring and expansive for us. And then also anyone listening, because, and then I think, you know, here I am coaching you again. Not that I'm your coach, but I'm always like, do it this way. But I betcha if you gave yourself 90 minutes to write a smutty short story, you could totally crush one out in 90 minutes. I have done that and have done it. So I like, you know, I ain't sharing that with nobody, but I right. And so I think giving yourself that extra time and then being both like soft, and this is for people listening, give yourself that time and then be both soft and strong with the boundaries, right? Like you might be like, yeah, we're going to do sourdough today and I'll be making sourdough with my children. And I saw a reel because I can't go on TikTok because I won't leave it recently, but it was like a corn dog, but it was like a sourdough, like hot dog into the sourdough and then cooking it. I was like, oh, I got to send that. I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but like that can be a combination, right? And I think the things we're passionate about, first of all, we don't always have to turn into money. Like, why can't we just follow our passions and let them be a success without needing to be like six figures this month or something ridiculous, right? And if there's one thing you know how to do, it's how to make money for yourself or for other people, right? So I wholeheartedly believe it. Also, can't wait to go to DJ shows that you are DJing. I've been thinking about that lately too. I'm like, well, since dancing all night is my favorite thing, and I'm like, this drop wasn't good enough, I would probably do a better drop than that. So that's fun. We should do a course together. But yeah, I feel like, thank you for going into this, because even more fun, because like, it's fun to learn about things I don't know about you yet. But I feel like so many of us, we get into our online businesses, we're doing it, it works, and then we're like, oh, there are all these other things I want to do, but I can't do them because then, yes, I might not be successful, or I might not have time for them, or, you know, this baby of mine, this business baby is taking all of my time. And so therefore, and this is me, like, I'm victim consciousness-y around like the agency and getting into my body and working out. And it's like literally because I could give it all of my time, right? And I think it's also for a lot of us, these businesses are an excuse not to do what we actually really want to effing do. Right. So again, look at you, innovator and expander. And then I think there's the perfectionist thing, right? So you're like, oh, I haven't put enough time into it. And I'm like, yeah, but you've been baking sourdough and probably making things with discards for months now. So I just want to say, like, again, for anyone listening, I feel like Shanti and most of us, we like are successful, but then we say we're not successful because it doesn't hit some mark that society or we made for ourselves. Like, I'm not successful because I haven't published it on Amazon yet. And it's like, well, when you give yourself that time, you probably can bang out a bunch of them and then just take some photos and then put it out there in the world. And if you don't have these like crazy expectations to like, now I'll never have to write a quiz again or something, then it can probably be a fun experiment that could turn into maybe I never write quizzes again, you know? So I feel like I'm rambling, but this is very exciting to me. And yeah, I like this idea of like straddling, like once you've figured out one online business, of course you can play into other directions and see where it goes. And if you don't burn it all down, like I want to every, you know, 2 weeks or something, then this baby, this thing that you've been nurturing for the past decade can continue to support you while you play into your creativity and this like person that you're becoming. Because we don't stop becoming. It's not like we're like, oh, now I've became, you know, like there's always something else and something in another way to grow and expand. So yeah, exciting.
It's really cool because it feels like it also, this is like the writer's life too, right? Or the creator's life. Like one of my screenwriting mentors, she was like, when I was leaving screenwriting school, she was like, art or writing doesn't like poverty. It doesn't thrive. And it's sort of like that Maslow's hierarchy of needs that I know you speak to quite a bit, Shanti. It's like, if we are not covered in the root chakra space, does our creative expression have room to like, if that needs to be your breadwinner too, to have room to express? And I feel like you've also achieved what a lot of, I think, softpreneurs set out to achieve in the beginning. Like for me, I was like, I want to be the angel investor in this like yogic herb farm that my husband and I wanted to. And it's taken on so many dimensions, and this work has become part of my passion too. But to feel like, okay, you've got that, you've got your creative expression happening in your business and it's feeding you in many ways, and you've fed it, and now you want to keep growing and expanding. And then there's like all these questions that are the writer's life question, right? Like, if I'm living it, if I'm living the sourdough starter, am I writing it too right now? And like, if I write a smutty short story, like, or I guess I'll say on that one, and not that like you, like, not that this is coaching you, it's just like kind of reflecting on that writer thing of like, like, could that not also be part of writing the sourdough blog, right? Like, kind of like taking a break from a writing project with another writing project, or just like getting that throat chakra energy out. And I had this other Ruby Warrington, who has the Numinous book, she's like, there will always be so many things competing with your writing, and life is always going to try to get in the way. And that's where we need those containers and we need those boundaries. And it's just that dance, right? I think for anything creative, like, how do I set my 90 minutes to dance at the beginning? Or,
yeah, exactly. That's a practice, right? Like, it could be a workout, it could be a daily email, it could be a recipe, it could be a little short story sprint. It's all the same, really.
Yeah, it's like feeding the muse.
Yeah, totally. And the whole 80-20 thing, like, that's where I'm at right now, is really I'm just like cutthroat. I'm like, what actually matters? What actually matters? And what doesn't? And yeah, that's a, you know, it's like killing your darlings in writing. It's like killing your darlings in like your stupid busy day that doesn't need to be that busy. So that's where I'm at.
I love it. I also think it's like by shortening your work week, doing the things that matter, you get to be grateful for your business instead of annoyed by it. And I think, yeah, we all have these dreams, right? Like, I want this online business. Like, I really want to do it for myself. And I want to change the world and have impact. And then we're like, oh, I'm so tired. I have to do everything. How come I have to create more content now? And then, oh, you know, like, my clients are bugging me and I want to do my own thing. And I wish I could just relax. And I think, like, if we can have boundaries, get shit done, love up our clients and take care of them, of course, but then have boundaries and explore all of the other ways we have to be creative. Or if you're like, actually, I just want to go for a run or be in nature or be with my kids, and then be grateful for that too, right? And then I think, instead of being like, maybe I should just get a job again, because at least if I had a job, I could leave it at home at the end of the day, we actually feel like we're living this like soft printer life that we were dreaming of when we had a job and wanted to be doing it for ourselves. So yeah, 3-day work week. I love it. And, you know, I hope that, you know, we can have 3-day work weeks and do nothing the rest of the time, some of the time, and be grateful for that as well. This, like, our friend Jenny Glick talks about this, but like, so many people just like, they get their pleasure from productivity, but that can't be the only place you're getting your pleasure, or you're going to burn out, you know, like it's not all of it. So yes, I love it. Yeah. Shanti, if you were going to be a DJ, what dance genre of music would you make?
I have already thought about this, and I am genre fluid. Through and through. Yeah, I cannot box my future DJ self into just one.
Love it.
But there will be deep bass.
But with bass.
Deep bass. Yeah.
I want to take a second to acknowledge this like amazing also fabric of like women and softpreneurs finding each other and this community, right? You spoke to it, like you vibrate who you are, and then these clients that you're like, whoa, this person is cool. I never imagined they would find me, or other people, like, kind of through like crazy synchronicity, like the way we kind of all found each other here and then realized like we have all of these convergences and things in common. And it feels like just this really amazing moment and path where it's like the more you keep walking it and the more you walk it in authenticity, the more like you find your people, and the more you're like, whoa, we are kind of a movement here creating this together. And I'd love to hear, Shanti, yeah, just your thoughts on community. We often ask, like, do you have a vision for the collective? So I'd love to know yours.
Yeah, just like more of this, please. More people coming together, overcoming whatever their perceived differences might be. And like, you know, both of you know, I hate identity politics and the division that's running rampant in our society. And when I like get to like the essence of who I am, it's just like laughing at all of that shit because so surface level, like none of it matters. We're all going through the same spinning wheel of emotions and joy and challenge and like, let's just be in it together. So I think the real ones know that, and often it goes without saying. Words aren't even necessary. We can feel that from each other. And yet when you are a word weaver, it's like, do I have to put it into words? Can people really just feel that? I think they can.
Yes. And you are a word weaver extraordinaire, best copywriter I've ever met. And I'm a coach in freelancing school by Copy Haggers. So I've met a lot of copywriters. And I feel like I learned so, so much from you just having you in my docs my first year of copywriting. I think I wrote 200 emails or something for Shondi in 2019 when I was like freelancing for her. It's not quite that, but it's something like that. And not to awkward seg, but Shondi this year did something so many of us would love to do. So speaking of like putting things out there and creating, and she took a bazillion of her amazing like emails and sales pages and landing pages and quizzes and like even like checkout pages, which are like mwah, chef's kiss. And she turned them into templates that you can buy. And of course, her shop is called The Greenhouse. And yeah, like both Lisa and I and everyone on our team has like looks up to and is still constantly learning from Shondi. So if you are a word weaver or don't feel like you're a word weaver, this is my like blatant go get your templates from Chantel. They'll make your life so much better. Back when Elisa and I were working with Chantel, we created, I think, pretty much like the best launch template sequence in the ever, called the Lazy Launch Sequence. And it's like everything from your like, you know, lead magnet to your conversion event to your sales page. And it's like kind of too affordable. So anyway, I'm gushing here. But on top of just like the template, she actually has like lessons in between each thing. Like, this is what you're trying to do here. And this is what you're trying to do here. And it's like psychology, but also love too. So this is me like bumping in and being like, all of this stuff is important. And if you have an online business and you're trying to sell things online and you don't want to hire a copywriter, well, first of all, if you want to hire a copywriter, you should hire Shondi or us. And then if you don't want to hire a copywriter, you should probably go check out her templates. So if that was awkward, ha, enjoy. This is not a sponsored post. We are affiliates, but we will post the non-affiliate link to the templates in our show notes. And I think, Shondi, you said that you are going to do some sort of crazy sale for Black Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to do a big Black Friday sale. So
get them all.
Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to seg back into marketing, but yeah, it's interesting because yes, we have so much in common. And it's funny how we found each other in like these strange, magical ways. And all of that is true. And Chantel is a marketing genius, smarter than anyone I have ever met. And you should definitely, if you're not already on her email list, you should get on it. We'll probably post like three things in the show notes. Definitely the growth type quiz. That's what it's called, right? That is like the best quiz on the internet for sure. Definitely, like, how many pages was the G Doc, Shondi?
Like 1,200.
Don't worry. Not each quiz result is that long. But there's like, was there?
First of all, let me load it.
That's not one of the templates. And there's like 16 different results, right? Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I'm gushing now. And we didn't speak that much about marketing because as softpreneurs, we don't have to be like pushing marketing all of the time. But if you are an online business person and you are, you know, launching your own products, definitely recommend those templates and or working with Shondi. Blatant selling here over here. Blatant.
I do have a marketing question. Shanti. You know when you get messages from all the universe or different places, or like you're just like feeling this one, what is really alive for you right now in terms of like what entrepreneurs need to know or be thinking about with their marketing? What's like your number one right now?
This might sound cynical, but I'll say it anyways. So I just feel like in a lot of ways, I was duped into thinking that there would be some like magical end point when everything just gets easy and you're just like swimming in money and you just do that for the rest of your life. And like, maybe that exists for people, but I have not experienced that. So I'm really, when coaching people and, you know, sharing insights with my community, bringing it back to like, are you in it for the long game? And are you in it to grow not just your bank account, but as a human? Because like, that is what's required. And that is what's required of like good marketing too. So that's the biggest thing. And that's a beautiful thing. It really is. Because like we're constantly going to be pushing up against these growth edges and everything changes so quickly, right? Like I shared how I started, everything revolved around blogs. And like today, blogs are practically dead in the water, right? You have to be good at video and reels and or podcasting, like, right? It's a different set of skills and you're going to be constantly refining your set of skills. And I mean, personally, I love that. It keeps me on my toes. But also to anyone who's like entering into entrepreneurship thinking like, I'll figure this out and then it'll be a cakewalk. It just, that's not been my experience.
Well, thank you for that beautiful honesty. And it's so true. Hey, like we see it in clients too, where like one launch was $300,000 and then the next launch, like let's launch again in 4 months. And you're like, oh God, I don't know if it's going to be the same for you this time, right? Because like there's this magic that goes into those things when all of a sudden you're rolling in the dough and the idea that it's going to be like that next time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's confronting. There's, you know, there's the shadow and there's the light in everything. And in business, it's no different. So it's really just like being here for that. And neither is right or wrong, right? It just is the nature of things.
Right. Well, on that very happy note, no, I love it. I think if more people went into entrepreneurship with that idea that they're not going to find that magic switch and then the money just flows out of the faucets and they're just bathing in it all of the time, but that there are like ways that you can move beyond survival and into, you know, thriving, but that the work doesn't stop and that maybe we want it to be fun. Let's let the work be fun. I think if we can go into it with that idea, it's going to be a lot more of a fun ride. So thank you for that, for sure.
And it's like, take those pauses or those moments when you can, take the 3-day work week when you can, or like create structures. That's the beauty and the challenge, right? Time and like that we get to create our own routines, but we can also be the person who's like, oh, I don't take a winter vacation, right? Or like we don't have some of those set things that like a quote normal workplace has. So that's like brings us back to the boundaries piece and the like create and receive the spaciousness when it's available, feels like something we're all living into more and more as we go.
I love it. So, Shanti, is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
I love you. You're doing a great job. And yeah, thank you for being present to this conversation with beautiful beings.
So where's the best place for people to find you then?
My website, shantizak.com, or on Instagram at shantizak.
Okay. Wicked. Thank you so much for being here. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.